from Chicago, Illinois, hosting WGN's Nightside, Mike Heidemann and Paul Farber.
Welcome in, listeners, to WGN Radio. My name is Michael Heidemann.
I'm Paul Farber.
And you guys are on quite the journey for tonight. This is our first time together here at the station. We are very excited to be here with you. Thank you to everyone who listens in. Just a quick heads up on who we are and where to call us. You can call us at 312-981-7200 or text in anytime. You might have heard me before on Sound Sessions. I'm Patty's producer, Patty and Andrea's producer, and it's great to, you know, be a part of the show. And now they've handed over the keys to my good friend, Paul and I. Paul, this is your first time behind the mic. What's going on, man?
First of all, I love the intro music that you created.
Well,
I was very impressed. I felt like I was going to be at a concert in 1978, and then all of a sudden, the lights were on. But
it hit you already. Well, that's thanks to our good friend Ernie Skatton, who's here at the station.
Oh, cool.
There's a lot of cool imaging. But tell us about yourself,
I like it,
man.
Well, you know, you guys all know me from Patty's show. I've been on Patty's show as a guest on Mondays and sometimes Thursdays for the last long time, over years. But I'm a comedian in town, and Mike and I run Two Guys, One Album, an amazing podcast.
Yes,
and
we do.
On here on WGN. And I also have a podcast called Singles Only on iTunes and the Laugh Factory channel. And I run some shows, too, here at Chicago.
I love seeing you on stage. There's a lot of things that you can do in the city. And to be honest, one of the greatest things to do on the weekend is to see you, Paul Farber. And what I do during the weekdays is listen to our podcast, Two Guys, One Album, during the week.
Yeah, we are music insiders. We're going to talk a lot about music on this show tonight based on stuff that we talk about on Two Guys, One Album, which is an amazing podcast. We get to review albums that we love and also albums that we don't know or love. And we've gotten a lot of mail on the show, surprisingly, from people talking about the albums. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it happens. Some of the songs and albums that we discuss or bands that we discuss, we're not going to agree on.
Well, that's the greatest thing about music, too, because it's so subjective what you want to listen to and what you want to hear. Because we can be talking about bands like Dave Matthews, which everyone seems to really like, but, you know, we weren't really big fans of it. Or U2. Some people have very strong opinions about these bands. They're almost like a lot of bands can become the Nickelback of their generation at times. So Nickelback isn't even that bad of a band.
Okay. I don't know.
Well, if you want to listen to it, you can find it on WGN Radio. Paul, what's about we say hi to everyone who is here with us on the show? We have our great producer, Casera. What's going on, Casera?
What's going on?
Not too much.
There she is. I was looking. There's so many lights on, by the way. You brightened up the room.
Yeah, it's super bright.
It's like the surface of the sun in here right now. Yes.
Yeah, we're going to have to turn down the lights, Michael. Casera, I just want to let you know that we voted for you in that contest. When was it again?
Thank you. Oh, the North Coast Toast of the Toast competition.
Yeah, I was the one that was like the vote that put you over the
top. Were the vote that got me way over.
We were talking
you were
about
that one vote.
I'm pretty sure. Because when I was looking at the stats, it was a dead heat. It was a barn burner, and then they were like, who do you say? Who say you, Paul? And I was like,
you came in and...
Yeah, but you know what? I don't need thanks for anything.
Yes.
No, I would have done it even if I didn't know how amazing you were.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. Thank you so much. Wow, it's great.
Well, how awesome does that feel, being a part of the North Coast Music Festival, which is such a huge music conglomerate here in the city? And, you know, with all the amazing festivals we have as far as Lollapalooza, Riot Fest, this is like the go-to spot for DJs in the city.
Right. It's life-changing and mind-blowing, because this is like my first year actually even performing at festivals. So I was at Pitchfork, and I also performed at Man Beyond the Beach, but I wasn't on any of the main stages. So, and I had told myself after Pitchfork, like, okay, next year I'm going to come heavy, and I'm going to be on a main stage at one of these festivals. And then for this competition to come up, when I entered, I had no idea I was even going to pull in as many votes as I did, and I got over 1,000 votes.
Wow. How many contestants were there?
In total, they had about 50 entries.
Wow.
and they looked at the top 25 and selected 8 finalists.
Okay.
So they took 4 DJs and 4 live acts. So myself won for the DJs. And then on the live act side, they actually took 2 of my friends. So the one artist, his name is Independent. And the other, it's a duo of female rappers called Mother Nature.
Okay.
So it was just super, it was awesome in general just to even be on the same stage as them for the competition. But then to see that we all won together.
Yeah, that's even
It
fun.
Made it that much better. Because it's like, wow, my friends are coming too. This is great.
So when you guys are backstage, you have someone to talk to instead of like just staring at everybody like else. We were that's able a cool
to,
feeling.
You know, talk to each other. Cause, yeah. And then the cool thing about it is like we weren't in competition with each other. It was like DJs were against DJs, mm-hmm. live acts against live acts. So it wasn't like, hey guys, I got my eye on you. I'm bringing my A game today. It was more so like, are you ready? You know, you got this. I hope you guys win.
Oh, I wanted it to be like, you know, everyone in fist the cuffs. And like
it's American Idol.
There was one other DJ there, and she was really getting under my skin because she knew that I was nervous. And she was like trying to like prey on that.
Oh, no.
And then when she went, her set was a bust.
Oh, man.
And it made me feel so much better.
Karma, yeah.
See, that's what happens. That's like the Ronda Rousey where you don't like touch gloves and then you get choke slammed or something like
that. Yeah, that's what it felt like. Because I came in very clean. I was like, you know, I'm really nervous, actually. I don't really know any of the other DJs here. I'm just going to talk to my friends. I'm scared. Because everyone walked in with like a posse of friends and I walked in by myself. And even like the stage director was like, who are you with? And I'm like, DJ Cash.
Do you know who I am?
And he's
that's
like,
what you say.
Where's the rest of you? And I was like, it's just me, man. I'm the party here. Sorry to disappoint, but
that's awesome.
That is unreal. Well, congratulations, Kasera.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And that's DJ Cash Era. And speaking of the hardest rocking woman in radio, in traffic, we got Esmeralda at traffic right now. What's going on, Esmeralda?
Nothing. I felt like that intro deserved that.
It was a little bit hard on the rock. I mean, did you feel it? I wanted to feel it through the airwaves. That's why we put it together. I needed Ernie's voice to just punch us through.
Oh, for sure.
Well, thank you.
That's what you use him for.
Yes.
To punch you through.
How's your weekend going? How's your week going? I feel like it's the weekend.
Every day's the weekend for me.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's going good.
Okay.
It's almost to the end of it, thank goodness.
It's just Wednesday.
I know, but it's the middle.
That's
which
true.
Means there's like, I technically only have one more day, so.
Oh, that's awesome.
I start early. Thursdays are my Fridays.
Well, I said weekend because Esmeralda and I have hosted together on the weekends, and I'm used to speaking to her from this side of the mic when it's about 2 o'clock in the morning on the weekend.
Yeah, even so when they don't ask us, we come in. We sit at microphones that aren't on.
And just play?
Yes.
This is where that's
we
fine.
Think it's real.
It is real. I think so.
If you believe, Paul, if you believe.
Exactly.
That's what happened to us. And then we were doing this and now we're here. So
I know it's pretty amazing. Well, before we go to break, what's going on, Don? How are you doing in the news?
Very well. Thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well. I love those docile tones. They make me feel so at home, like a comfy blanket.
Good. Good. I'm glad. That's the point. I want everyone to just kind of like let the eyelids just droop a little bit and let's talk some news.
Well, Don, what's your favorite music act? We were talking about our favorite bands, and I think that's what we're going to be speaking about next is favorite concerts and where, you know, you kind of get into the nitty gritty of the crowd and you feel that pulsing bass or whatnot. What's
sure.
what's your favorite band and what's one of the best concerts you went to?
The band I've seen the most live is the Dave Matthews Band since you mentioned it earlier.
Come on, Don.
Oh yeah, but I will say, or a little earlier in the summer, I did see the Foo Fighters at Wrigley.
Oh, nice.
And that was an incredible show.
They're one of the best bands to see. Even when I'm not a huge Foo Fighters fan, like I saw them live, I was like, wow, they are amazing.
Yeah,
I
mean, it was unbelievable.
I mean, I like them, obviously. I have their music, but Dave Matthews, on the other hand, we have some conversations that we talked about on the podcast this week, actually, the new album. Did you buy the new album?
It was actually given to me from a friend who knows that I like Dave.
Who bought it and didn't like it?
Possibly.
Okay.
I might have been re-gifted on that. But I do, at least they had wrapped it up again in plastic, so they went the extra mile if they did.
Oh. And do you like the album?
There's a few songs on there that stuck out that I enjoyed. I kind of like Dave's when he, you know, a little more mellow stuff, like just kind of like maybe him on an acoustic guitar, like getting a little higher octave. I kind of like that.
He doesn't go as high on this album, we noticed. I don't know if you noticed that as well.
Yeah, he doesn't compared to like Sweet on Away From the World and Virginia in the Rain's a little lower kind of thing.
I mean, he might have been high during the album, but he wasn't as high.
Most
as
likely.
Yeah, I think the years have taken a toll on his high range octaves.
Probably. Can't squeeze those chords. It happens.
Well, that is an amazing concert experience. I'm sure a lot of us here, especially in the Midwest, have been a part of Dave Matthews, and whether going to Alpine or seeing him at wherever he plays. I haven't been to a Dave Matthews show in a really long time. But let's talk about that next. Favorite concerts, Paul. Give us a call, 312-981-7200.
Oh, let me a phone crash.
Yeah, that's the stuff.
Dear God.
Don, is that taking you back, my friend?
All the way to a high school parking lot, my friend.
Does this go on for another 30 minutes?
The live version probably goes like 45 or 50.
He starts into the djembe solo right about here. Okay.
You know, this song, I don't have... I make fun of Dave Matthews Band all the time, but to be clear, the first band I was in was a Dave Matthews cover band.
Whoa.
And we were called Under the Table. I was a huge Dave Matthews fan.
Yay, admission.
But then I stopped doing drugs. And I was like, why was I listening to this? This is horrible.
Yeah, there's the necessity to appreciate Dave Matthews, I think. Yep.
No, he's great. He's super talented as a guitarist. And we didn't end up doing a lot of songs by Dave Matthews, even though we were a Dave Matthews cover band, because their songs are really hard to play on guitar. And as a lead guitarist, I just couldn't learn them. So we ended up doing a lot of Better Than Ezra and like Cranberries, which were a lot easier to play.
A lot of open E's.
Nice. Oh, I'm yeah, sure. A lot of open chords were a lot easier to play than Dave Matthews' weird fingering on his guitar.
Well, there's something to say about how talented musicians are that go out every single night and play music here and everywhere. Paul, did you happen to watch the VMAs?
I did not. I had a show, but I saw some news about it.
Yeah, there was a lot of news that came out, whether it be Madonna causing some kind of controversy. I can't believe Madonna's still causing controversy after these years.
She knows how to create publicity.
Man, old enough to be your grandma and still stirring that pot.
Still very attractive.
Well, Monday night's MTV Movie Awards, or I'm sorry, Video Music Awards, brought in its smallest amount of people to date. It drew a mere 5.23 million viewers on MTV and simulcast on other Viacom networks, because you know they need to show it on multiple channels to bring as many people as they can into this great.
I feel like a lot of it has to do with they're aiming it at millennials, and a lot of millennials don't really watch TV anymore, so I don't know if that's a fair argument, but
exactly. And that goes on to the fact that there are so many more of these big EDM, which stands for electronic dance music, as the kids call it, festivals that are popping up all over the nation. And we're almost getting too heavily saturated on these festivals.
Yeah.
But it just speaks to how much going to a concert means to some people. We've got some text here. Did you want to
talk about that,
go ahead.
You and I talked about Lollapalooza. This year was the first year. I've gone to Lollapalooza every year for years. And honestly, it was like the first year I didn't know 90% of the bands.
Yeah.
And it felt like, and you and I were at Lolla together, and we were just like, it seems like they're purposely aging me out of it. You know what I mean? Like, it used to be at least like four or five bands would be on there. You'd be like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. And this year there were some amazing bands that were awesome too that I wanted to see. But this year there was a lot of the EDM took over.
Yeah.
Even they used to just be limited to Perry's tent, which was one stage. But now it's like every stage had some sort of EDM going on.
Did Perry have a tent at one time? Because that was the biggest stage I've ever seen.
It was Perry's tent was what it was earlier. Wow. But this year, remember we went to that area. It was awesome. But I was like, I'm too sober for this.
We have some texts coming through. We were talking about favorite concerts.
What was your favorite concert, Michael?
You know, I have a lot of favorite concerts that I've been to. I've had the opportunity to work on Sound Sessions, which is a music podcast here on WGN Radio. And I've been afforded the opportunity to go to South by Southwest, where you see just hundreds of artists during an entire week. We live in Chicago, which you can see a show every single night. I'm gonna tease my favorite concert coming up. I'm gonna get to some of these texts, and we're gonna take a quick break, go to the news, and then we're gonna crush the topic of concerts with our guest as well, Mike from Jam Productions, which we're very excited to be speaking to.
Are people saying their favorite concerts are?
From the 219, most memorable concert for me was Frank Zappa at the Auditorium Theater on Mother's Day, and he said, "Yep, older than dirt, Jeff, you are my best friend, and you are not older than dirt. Keep that rock alive." Paul, do you want to take the next one?
Yeah, there's one from the 815, said Blink-182 and Green Day, but the one I like
sounds smart.
Yeah,
yes.
Yes, you're a fan of Blink-182. Mm-hmm. 847 says, "My favorite concert is any concert that isn't a Dave Matthews concert. He sucks and always has." Oh, well. Well, we won't read the rest of that.
Polarizing. He is a polarizing figure. That's for sure.
Don, much love to you. All right, we got a few more here from Margaret. We're going to get to those. All right, we got a lot more coming up right now on Mike and Paul's show here on the Night Side. But before we get to news, we got a text from Margaret from the 312. "Genesis Turn It On Again tour in 2007 at the United Center was the best. My daughter and I had VIP seats in one of the skyboxes with free food and drinks. My daughter got to stay home from 8th grade because it was her first concert, and we still have the t-shirts." Margaret in Bridgeport. Margaret, wow. That is an amazing, amazing experience, and we will be talking more about these amazing experiences and the fact that we got a text from the 856?
I don't know what
858? Paul's first band was Go Time. Go Tom.
Go Tom.
Go Tom, very talented. Love their GNR concert with Paul. One of the best.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw Guns N' Roses with some people here, I see. Oh, that's Chris.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know who that is now.
There is another great band that I've seen in concert before. One of the finest acts in all the land of Weezer. Rivers Cuomo, still one of the greatest guitar guys there is.
It's on my bucket list. I have not seen them live, and I definitely want to. But I agree with you. That was one of the Two Guys, One Albums podcast where we both agreed was the Blue Album was one of the greatest albums. So
yeah,
we rarely agree.
It rarely
we're like
is.
The Siskel and Ebert of music albums.
Yes.
We never agree.
I think we've been referred to that team once or twice before. So, yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
I think that's the first time.
Okay. Maybe it's the first time.
That's fine.
We're talking about favorite concerts here on WGN Radio. This is Michael Heidemann and Paul Farvar on WGN's Night Side. But right now, we want to hear from Scott, who we went to an Electric Light Orchestra show. What's going on, Scott?
Oh, not only did I go to one show, I went to two shows at the Hollywood Bowl in 2016 and saw them.
Oh, recently?
And it was phenomenal because they played with the L.A. Philharmonic Orchestra behind them.
No, that's so cool.
And the end of the show, it was a fireworks finale. So I'd never been to the Hollywood Bowl, which is a beautiful place, and I'd read about it for years. ELO hadn't toured in decades, and they finally, Jeff Lynne finally decided to, well, I guess I'll tour a little bit. And have you guys ever made this mistake? So I left those two shows, and I thought, okay, I've seen them. I don't need to see them again. And I saw them last week at the Allstate Arena.
Mm-hmm.
And it was okay, but
you got to go on a high note,
smaller,
Scott.
Yeah, I know. I should have left it alone.
Yeah, you see know. Them in Hollywood at the Hollywood Bowl.
With fireworks.
With symphony.
Yes.
You don't go back. That's how you end it. You don't go see them at Allstate.
I know. I had to vent and tell you guys this because I've been to about, you know, I don't know, 200 concerts in my life. I can give you a couple of my other favorite ones.
Go ahead.
I saw John Denver at the Chicago Stadium in 1974.
Wow.
And he also was backed by a full orchestra.
Man,
and it was just beautiful. Saw Elton John at the stadium in 1976.
Okay,
and that was one of the big tour. I mean, he was really, really, really popular then.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Supertramp at the height of their popularity at Alpine Valley, and that was
awesome.
Just a beautiful show.
That was
like
all great shows
in 80 or so.
Scott,
do you guys have the feeling that there is a point in any band or artist's career where they have, I mean, they're the hottest, you know? They're the most popular, they're performing really great, and that's when you should see them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you were a son of the 70s rock and roll, and I really appreciate that, Scott. Scott, that was an awesome call.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Scott.
You know, Paul,
no problem.
Take care, Scott, and thanks for listening to WGN.
Sure, guys. Keep up the good work.
Take care, my brother.
These are all good concerts. I didn't see ELO, and I haven't seen John Denver.
You know what I appreciate the most about ELO, besides the great pieces of work that they create with that great electronic sound?
What is that?
Jeff Lynne's dedication to that perm haircut.
The haircut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For years. Never
he
changed
kept
it.
That's good. Rock hair is important, which brings us to one of my favorite, and actually the 330 said their favorite concert was My Morning Jacket. I agree. I saw My Morning Jacket at the Vic Theater. A lot of it thanks to our guest, Mike LeMaistre from Jam Productions, who was also there with me and hooked me up with tickets for that show. Mike, thanks for coming on. I've known you for 20 years, I think, now.
I think so.
Working with Jam. You're an agent work with some amazing bands at Jam Productions. You're an adjunct professor with the glasses on right now, might add, which you didn't have for 15 of those years that I knew you. Mike, what's going on? What are your favorite concerts?
Oh, wow.
Top three, well, go. You have 7 seconds.
You are so deep in the industry, too.
That's
so really
hard to say.
It's going to be a tough one.
That's like saying what's your favorite song of all time.
It's really hard. I usually think about some of the ones before I was in the industry. So I saw Michael Jackson on the Bad Tour.
Wow.
No way. How old were you when that show came
to town? Oh, gosh. I was probably 15.
Okay.
Around there. I saw my mom took me and my friend and his mom. We went to see Run DMC and the Beastie Boys at the old Rosemont Horizon in 1988, Together Forever Tour.
That's an amazing concert.
And that was kind of a that was a big one for me. That was one of the ones that sort of
changed your life, maybe.
Yeah.
I want to start booking all these shows.
I don't know what... anything that goes into what this is, but I want to be around this more.
Mm-hmm. Like, when you were going to those concerts, were you looking around and you're like, I wonder how many seats fill in this room? And you were already thinking like a booking agent?
No, I was not.
They've been there, but I don't buy it.
That herd is thin.
But we're gonna find out more. And then also, Mike LeMaistre is going to tell us about the upcoming schedule of concerts with Jam Productions. And we're going to talk about best albums of all time soon. And then we're going to play What's Paul Eating a little later.
Oh, listener favorite.
A listener favorite.
Get your calls in 312-981-7200. You can text us at the same line, 312-981-7200. WGN Radio Nightside. Ooh, that sweet, sweet Oasis takes
me
back.
Champagne Supernova.
How's it going to be, Paul? You know,
I don't know. I don't get high anymore.
You'll find me.
Yeah. But this was a great album we covered on Two Guys, One Album, our podcast here on WGN.
That you can find on WGNRadio.com just by searching Two Guys, One Album.
Yes.
Speaking about favorite concerts, favorite musicians, we've got Mike LeMaistre here.
LeMaistre.
I'm trying to put a little bit more sauce on it than usual. Thank you. we got the master of concerts is what I'm going to refer to as 21 years in the music industry with Jam. It's one of the greatest and largest independent music producers of live entertainment in the United States. But right now, we got to get to this call from Catherine talking about the time that she saw Mr. Pat Boone and the Four Aces. What's up, Catherine?
Yes, I did. That was down in Pontiac, Illinois. Somebody in our group heard that they were going to be in a big barn down there, and we got in the car. I was a senior in high school. The 22-year-old never heard of Pat Boone. Whoa. But we went down, and he sang a big concert, and the Four Aces came out and sang, and then their transportation didn't come.
Nuts.
Everybody left and we stayed. Pat Boone sang for a good half an hour for all of us, and so did the Four Aces.
Wow.
And
come on.
Pat Boone gave one of my friends his handkerchief.
Oh.
And every night she put it around her head when she put her rollers up.
Oh.
And I got one of the Four Aces handkerchiefs.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I put it in my blue jeans, in my jeans, and my mother got it mixed up with my dad's.
Do you still have it?
But,
no?
No. My dad used it. But since then, I entered the convent, and I'm really a sister.
All right.
For 55 years. And I listen to WJGN any chance I get.
Oh, my gosh. Catherine.
When you were talking about this, I just wondered if anybody remembers Pat Boone. He was wonderful.
Of course we remember him. You know, he did album covers of metal songs.
That's right.
Recently, right, Mike?
Not that recently, but maybe 20 years ago. In a metal mood.
In a metal mood. Did he play Enter Sandman when you saw him, Catherine? Does that sound familiar?
Enter Sandman, bring me a dream.
Different Sandman.
Make him the sweetest that I've ever seen.
That's
Catherine,
right.
You are
thanks,
one.
Catherine.
I know that very well.
You are one rocking sister.
The songs and the Four Aces. Do you remember them?
Yeah, of course.
Not as well as Pat Boone, though.
No, but you've heard of him. But that little 22-year-old girl, she wasn't even born yet.
Oh.
So she,
Ariana Grande wasn't even anywhere on the spectrum at this point.
No. Oh, exactly. Well,
Catherine,
thank you so much, Catherine.
I had to call in and put my two cents in because it was a lot of fun.
Well, we really appreciate it, Catherine. That was an excellent call, and we wish you all the best. And you know what? Keep on rocking, okay?
Hope you find
that's
that.
What I'm trying to do.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Catherine, man, that was a great call.
Yeah.
From the convent to the rock and roll stage.
That is right. She is a true rock and roll star. She's a groupie, if you will.
His handkerchief, too.
Yeah.
Man.
Whatever it was made her swear to sisterhood after that. So it must have been a very, very important concert.
Paul or Mike, have you guys ever caught like a handkerchief or maybe a drumstick?
Did you call
t-shirt?
It a handkerchief?
Yeah, you know, that's what the kids call it these days.
Chief? Yeah. Okay.
Two different handkerchiefs.
What have you caught?
A drumstick?
I have a drumstick from
I have
a band.
Caught guitar picks.
Yeah. Okay.
You get stuff backstage from them too, like from your favorites.
Well,
and stuff that you steal probably,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you
sometimes.
Do that every once in a while. People leave things behind sometimes. And
yeah.
Yeah.
What's your most cherished item that you've gotten thrown at a show before?
Oh, wow.
Thrown or received from a fellow.
So my favorite band growing up was Chicago band Material Issue.
Oh yeah.
That was the band that when I started to go see them in the early 90s, I felt like, okay, this, I had been to those big shows before and kind of got sucked in, but when I started seeing bands like that at places like Metro, I thought, oh, this is like a whole other level. This is even more amazing to see things at such an intimate setting.
Absolutely.
And the energy and the and Material Issue was my band, and they were unbelievable live.
I saw them in concert in the 90s too.
They were,
you know, that's kind of how I felt the first intimate concert I went to. You know, I used to go to big concerts in the 90s when I was in high school. I saw Van Halen, I saw The Police, I saw Sting. So one of our callers, 630, said the first Sting solo tour at Poplar Creek. I was there in 86. But the first time that music really impacted me was when I saw a band called The Connells at Metro.
Oh,
in
93,
94.
Open up somewhere for Pat Boone. I remember that.
Pat Boone was there. And my friend Colby took me to the concert. I was like, this is something different. Going to a concert in an intimate setting is totally different than in a big show. And Jam Productions was responsible for all of that in Chicago for so long. And they've got some of the greatest shows coming to Chicago. Everyone's got to see them. What are some big shows that you guys have coming up? I looked on the website. I see Buffalo Tom, which is one of my favorite bands coming at
Buffalo Tom at Metro. That's going to be
great. But people are like, who? That's like a band that people don't know enough about. But you got Leon Bridges coming in
Leon Bridges.
Aragon Ballroom.
Back.
Let's see.
That was debut was a favorite record of mine from the past
couple years.
I love that record.
Record Company at the Riviera.
Yeah, we're excited about that.
That's a good one. You also have some great comedy shows, too, I might add. You got Cameron Esposito coming.
Oh, wow.
She's amazing. She's a Chicago comedian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Doing big things.
Yeah, I was when I started comedy, she was still here. Then she was blowing up all over the country at that time. Colin Jost, or is that? That already happened?
That happened. Oh, that was a couple weeks ago. We had Colin Jost and then and Michael Che like within a week of each other.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's a great I got to perform on that stage at the Vic too for a couple shows. I did the I did TJ Miller and Dimitri Martin. Those were awesome shows. Were those guys those were both Vic jam shows?
I think so.
Oh
yeah.
Cool, okay. Yeah. Belly is coming October 6th.
I'm so excited about Belly.
Do you know they have
a new record too?
Is it good?
It is good. It's really good.
Between Us Girls, is it good?
It's good.
Okay.
It's good. Tanya Donnelly can do no wrong in my book.
Did you listen to Belly when you were
in
McHenry County?
I see them very often come up in the zines and the music wires, but I have never listened to them. Growing up in a small town like McHenry, Illinois was kind of, I mean, it was a lot of people were pushed either towards Pat Boone, oldies, or like Alkaline Trio punk rock, and that's kind of what I grew up to.
Pat Boone.
There's going to be a lot of Pat Boone references in
Pat
this show.
Pat Boone. So. I haven't heard that name in a long time, but Belly. That what was that Star? Was that
Star?
Star.
Yeah,
that was a great album.
Was a great record.
Such a great album.
First time I saw Belly. They had a. It was a co-headline, but they closed, and the band that played right before them,
Four Aces,
Radiohead.
What?
No.
I want. Are they still around? Are they doing okay? They seem to be doing okay.
I think I saw them in a barn somewhere. They're doing okay. Radiohead. Wow,
Radiohead,
that's amazing.
And Belly, yeah.
I saw Dave Matthews' band open for Freddie Jones' band at Park West. Do you remember that?
That's
concert?
Incredible.
I don't remember that one.
Did I make that up? I don't know if
maybe.
I did.
No, I don't know.
No, and then they played.
That sounds like something.
And then Dave Matthews came back and played at Cubby Bear in 1995.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because I have that. I do have that bootleg CD, and you can hear like people in the background, like just it's so loud.
Yeah, you know, as much as.
Or maybe it's 93.
As much as Dave Matthews gets a lot of crap from people, and no pun intended, especially living here in Chicago and the bridge being right behind us in the studio.
Yeah.
He is an amazing artist, and he has a really great connection to Chicago. I know that he was on JBTV, which is our local kind of, what do you call it, UHF station almost. I don't know if that's really the right reference to it, but it's a small TV station that that showcases a lot of artists that come through the city of Chicago, and he played on that show, which is a very small studio back when he was first getting started.
Yeah.
And then the next year, I mean, he's playing Alpine Valley, he's playing the United Center, he's playing all over the place. So yeah, lots of good things happening.
There's a lot of great shows coming up here. I see Pete Yorn is coming too. Wow,
yeah,
that's a great album. His first album was great. Like. That's an album we got to cover on Two Guys, One Album.
Pete Yorn.
Mm-hmm. Jim James, did you say, is coming
Jim
too?
James is
I don't see it on your schedule.
Vic. Well, okay.
Is it not announced yet? Did we just break laws?
No, it's in November sometime at the Vic.
Lake Street Dive. They're amazing
the
live.
Riviera.
Have you seen them live, Mike?
I ate there 3 weeks ago. Oh, wait, that's a band?
That's another album that we got to cover.
Speaking
of greatest albums, we got to start talking about albums here.
We do. But before we get to that, let's do a quick shoot around the table here. Because, Sarah, I want to know, what was your favorite concert you went to?
That's such a hard question.
I know. Oh, that's why we're grilling you on the spot.
I feel like one of my favorites that I will never forget is Toni Braxton.
Oh, I
saw her for my 19th or 20th birthday. I don't remember which one.
Okay.
That one is very dear to my heart because I am a huge Toni Braxton fan.
Okay.
And then I think most recently this year, seeing Lauryn Hill at Pitchfork.
Oh, that show was phenomenal.
That was really good.
I mean, the horn section, her dancers, her backup singers, everything was right. And she played
amazing.
You know what? I wish she would have played the album in its entirety in order, rather than kind of mixing up the
songs.
Yeah,
I think that would have been cool, but I also feel like...
That's a great album.
If you listen to the album in that order, though, a lot of her, like, well-known hits are back-to-back-to-back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she should mix it up. So that's
the problem. Yeah, I feel like that's the main reason why she decided to mix it up.
Did she do the skits, too, during the thing? You know, the little... Lauren Hill, classroom.
They did this at classroom in the beginning.
Oh, did they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, in the very, very beginning, they had a DJ there and everything. So they did one of the skits, one of the many skits.
And if people are questioning what we're talking about, the famous album by Lauren Hill, the Miseducation of Lauren Hill.
Yeah.
Great, great artist. Because Sarah, that was awesome. And you're doing an awesome job producing. We have a lot of texts coming through here. Paul, do you want to read those up real quick?
I did not see them. Oh, Dave Matthews Concert 630.
That's what caught my eye.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to say what this happened. Let's see. Can we say this? What this said?
No.
Yeah. See, a lot of these are 630 said VHS or Beta. We'll stop with there. The doubling down. Beatles text from 847 said, "I was at the Beatles 1964 concert. Honest, first row mezzanine. The tickets were $5.50. You had to mail your request. My friend and I got lucky. The concert was at the old amphitheater on Halsted, I believe."
They're calling you out, Paul.
They are. Also, Pat Boone and the Four Aces were also present. No, I just made that part up.
That's
great. And Lauryn Hill is one of that's. And we talked about that on Two Guys One Album. That was one of my favorite albums of all time.
Yeah, one of the highest rankings we gave on the show, Two Guys One Album, was for Lauryn Hill. Yeah.
What was your favorite album?
Favorite album. Oh, wow.
That's a hard one.
That one is hard. You know what? Let's tease that. Let's take a quick break. Okay. Give me some time to reevaluate, think Mike, about it. And Mike?
You can stick around and tell us your favorite album before you leave?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you're ready.
I'm not ready, but I'll be ready.
Right on. Well, you're listening to WGN's Nightside with Michael Heidemann and Paul Farvar. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. Text us at that same line, 312-981-7200. Yeah. Yeah, dealing with some Lauryn Hill. Welcome back.
The Four Aces. No? Too soon?
Welcome back to WGN's Nightside with Michael Heidemann and Paul Farvar. We got Mike from Jam Productions here. We're talking favorite concerts. We see that the texts are still rolling in. We're getting tons of calls, and we can't get enough of this. It's a great topic because it means so much. People are so close to their music. I mean, they will defend it until the day that they die. It's almost like a religion, almost, music.
And a lot of people don't like Dave Matthews. Sorry, Don. I don't know what to tell you, but
that
it's
is
not
my church. Not everyone has to love it, but that's the church to which I subscribe.
It's fine. As you said, you had a favorite concert?
I would say one of my favorite concerts, and it's probably because it was the first time I was seeing them live, was Garbage.
Oh, yeah.
I saw them in 2001, 2002. I have, and I love their first album.
Mm-hmm,
their first album is amazing.
Butch Vig, right?
Yeah.
Still playing drum, making those great albums like Nirvana's Nevermind, and then freaking being in the band for Garbage. Come on.
He created that band, right?
And coming back to the Riviera this fall.
Yeah,
is that right?
I will be there.
Oh, wow.
And that's actually original where lineup? I saw... Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I saw the first show, Garbage, the first show I'd seen of theirs. So it's kind of a nice... coming back home to see them at the same place. I don't know if I will stand in line, you know, starting at 9 a.m. to be up front. So we'll see.
Is that what you did at the first time you saw
them?
Oh, I love that.
I was going to be up front, even if it was going to kill me.
Did you catch her, Shirley, what's her name again?
Shirley Manson.
Manson. I wanted to say McLean, and I knew that was so wrong.
No, different Shirley.
So I'm guessing you didn't catch her handkerchief.
No, but I took a bunch of pictures with my disposable camera.
Yes.
Selfie? You created the selfie?
I didn't take any selfies. I just took pictures of them. I was being a little, I didn't want to try.
You couldn't selfie correctly with the disposable camera.
That was a gamble.
And you only have 24 pics, so you don't really
want to. Right, and I don't want to waste them on
it.
Like half of my face. Very and like true. Half of the band.
It was often just an eyeball that you would see in the corner of the photo with somebody in the background when you were taking a selfie like that.
Yeah.
It was just bad. All right, so we got Mike here from Jam Productions. We're going over the schedule. What else have we got coming up, Paul?
There were some great shows coming. We talked about Jim James. What I did notice
not on the schedule is the return of the band live. Now, you and I got to see a post-Lala show, which Live's Mental Jewelry is a great album. I will say that. But seeing them in concert 20 years after the album, it wasn't the same.
Didn't do it for you?
It didn't do it for you. But I will say, and I'm proud that you said that when you think of them, you think of me. They do have one of the greatest songs with a reference to placenta. What band could do that?
Mike? It's true.
And it's the song.
And every time I hear that song now, which you'd be surprised, grocery store.
Lightning Crashes is still elevator music.
It's around.
Bar mitzvahs, children's birthday parties.
And I've ruined it for you.
I've made it better. It just makes me remember our night together at the Park West.
What's going on here? What am I missing from the story, guys?
We gotta go to commercial.
Oh, we do. Darn it. Okay, we'll tease that as well. We're gonna take a quick commercial break here on the Nightside with Mike and Paul. We'll be back in 2 seconds. Hey, welcome back to WGN's Nightside. This is Michael Heidemann with my fellow friend Paul Favre.
Fellow friend.
We got a text from the 224 saying, would you please ask the radio host to introduce himself or at least give their names?
We just did.
We've been trying to do that often, but we got to say it more. Michael Heidemann and Paul Farvar, write our bosses. Tell them how much you love us. We will be totally fine with that.
Do that now because you might not like us after we play the game later, What's Paul Eating, which
That's
is coming up in a few minutes.
But yes, we have a game coming up, and we're very excited. It's a listener favorite, Paul.
It is, and a producer favorite. Even Patty said that her boss, your boss, and my boss, I guess, Stephanie, said it's her favorite show.
It's one of the finest games in radio history, to be honest. It's called What's Paul Eating? You might know it from the Patty Vasquez and Andrea Darlis show, and we're going to be playing it after the news. Paul, can you give us just a little bit of a taste of
what
it's like?
I cannot. There's only so much we could do. But what it is we're going to need two callers. We're going to give away tickets to Everyone's a Lawyer this Sunday at the Laugh Factory.
That's really? That's what we're giving away?
Yeah, we'll
give
away
that. It's an awesome prize.
Yeah, and we'll talk to a comedian who works on the show in a bit, too.
Oh, I'm so excited. There's so much great stuff coming up here on WGN Radio. Welcome back to WGN's Nightside with host Michael Heidemann and Paul Farvar.
Yes, we are back. And it's almost that time for what we've been waiting for all night.
Oh, I'm so excited, Paul.
What's Paul Eating? We will talk about that soon. And by the way, we need callers for the game. You're going to win two tickets to Everyone's a Lawyer, which is this Sunday at the Laugh Factory. We have a comedian that works on the show with me on that, Paige Blair. Paige, how are you? Oh, you're up late?
I'm doing so well. Thank you for having me.
Okay.
Yeah, it's up late. You guys are wild. When do you sleep?
Not very often. We have an espresso machine right outside the studio.
Yes, I have
that. I think both of us are partaking in.
Yes, we did that. Also, still in the show with us is Michael Masary from Jam Productions. Mike, you're going to be at Everyone's a Lawyer on Sunday as well.
I will.
You're going to be the professor on the show, right? Adjunct professor. Paige, you've seen the show.
How would you
describe it as an outsider? You got to get involved after we've had 10 shows. We do this once a month. You came and saw it. Mm-hmm. How would you describe it?
I would describe it as intellectual comedy.
Intellectual comedy?
Yeah, about current events, but with like a dumb take on it.
Yes. It's comedians acting as lawyers, which is the last thing you want.
Blunt truth. Yes. I love that answer.
So, yeah, it's a fun show. This week, we have Carly Kane, who's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Adam Burke, who is on the WGN show, Pat Tomasulo show, and also been on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And the returning champion, just off of his tour at Just for Laughs in Montreal, which is an amazing thing for comedians, Joe McMahon. You saw him win last month.
I saw him win. It was a landslide.
Pretty fun, Michael.
I saw him win the 1985 Super Bowl. He was so freaking phenomenal.
Sweetness made it. Also, you saw him at the Super Bowl Shuffle, which was filmed at the Vic Theater.
At the Park West.
Oh, Park West,
filmed
my bad.
At the Park West.
Yes,
really?
1985. Yes.
Good year.
Would you say that would you rather see the Super Bowl Shuffle live or the Ariana Grande show you saw today?
Ooh, that's tough, but I think the Super Bowl Shuffle live would be pretty special. So. Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we've done our part. I think it's time for the game. Are you guys? So you guys don't even know what this game is. You guys can actually partake in what's Paul eating.
We'll be caller one, caller two.
You can be contestants to see who wins. Are we ready, Mike?
I think we're ready. Because Sarah, can you play that beat?
It's time to guess what Paul is eating. What's he putting in his mouth? He's chomping out some broccoli, pig's feet, grits or spaghettios.
It's back.
It is. I feel like we haven't played this in a while.
Yeah. Every time we play it, it feels like it's been far too long that we played another episode of What's Paul Eating?
It is amazing. So here's what how the game works. We have callers call in. The number, 312. What is the number?
312-981-7200.
And you call in, and you're going to guess what I'm chewing. Mm-hmm. And if you are correct, you're going to get two free tickets to Everyone's a Lawyer either this Sunday, August 26th, or the next month, which is at the end of September, September 30th. Should we do a sample round so people know? And you know, Mike and Paige, you guys are going to play until we get a caller, which we don't even have a caller yet.
I hope we got lots of snacks lined up, Paul.
We do. We're gonna
I feel like the calling line is about to explode once we play this game, though.
Very simple.
So everyone be on the edge of their seat, be ready with their ears turned up to 11 for the first round of What's Paul Eating?
Okay, so this is a sample round, and you can ask questions that are answered yes or no if you guys want to pick. So you guys, Mike and Paige, you need to close your eyes. Cassandra, do you want to play as well? Unless you got to take a call.
I mean, I kind of already know what it is.
No.
They can't
hidden.
Tell. Everything is in the same bag.
Right. So. I can't tell? Oh, okay, then yeah. I'm game. Let's do
okay,
this.
So here. Right now, you guys all saw the Lay's the mm-hmm. thing, so you think you know what it is.
Yes, but, we think it's like
so this is a sample round, so you guys can see this round. This is what a barbecue potato chip sounds like when you chew it on the air. So you guys ready? This is a sample round, so here, ready?
It's a good chip.
I'd say chip.
That was a good
you
that
make
a chip.
Us
that
guess,
was a fresh
guess
chip.
The flavor. That'd be fun.
Ooh.
There's no guess, so that was the first round. So Mike, I don't know what we're gonna do. This is the first time we've done this game.
This is very meta.
Any calls.
So so what we're gonna do? Well, they gotta understand what the game is, Paul. So
I just told them. So now you guys know. This is how it works.
Like, yeah, it's just like it's like where am I called?
First time. That's it.
So we heard the sound. Now we gotta guess what that sound was. Paul, can we get it one more time by chance?
Same one.
The same one.
Okay.
So I'm gonna close my eyes.
Okay, so this is what a chip sounds like. It's like a control, okay? We're nothing if we're not accurate.
All right. I think I got it, Paul. Okay, without seeing, my first guess is...
Well, I just told you what it was.
I thought we were supposed to guess like the flavor.
No, that was the... Oh, okay, you want to guess the flavor?
Darn it, can we just play a sample round of this game? I mean,
you keep saying
begging.
Sample round.
Yes.
So sample means... All right, you know what? Everyone knows. Mike and Paige, you guys are our contestants. We're just going to do this first round. You guys, close your eyes.
Okay.
Did you want to play? Cassandra, you playing?
My eyes are closed. Let's do this.
All right, don't look. Here, can we get a drum beat, Mike?
Yes, we can. Ooh, that's a toughie.
Peanuts.
Okay.
Is that how the game works?
No, you can guess, or you can you can just guess, or you can ask a question before you take a guess. It's got to be a yes or no question.
She went straight to peanuts.
I guess that's my answer.
Yours is peanut.
Or
okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you may.
Sure.
Is it something people are commonly allergic to that could kill them?
People can be allergic to it, but it's not one of the most common ones.
Not allergic for everybody.
Mike, do you have a question before you take a guess?
Is it a salty snack?
It is salty, yes. Cassandra, do you have a question before you take a guess?
I have no questions.
All right, what's your guess then?
Well, let's recap real quick. Not allergic for everyone.
Right.
A salty snack.
Yeah. Yes.
Can I ask a question real quick, Paul?
No. You're not playing because you already know all the options. You saw them.
I did not see them, but I'm ready to go with Cassandra's first answer.
I feel like it's either a peanut or a pretzel.
Okay, so someone already said peanut. Are you going to say peanut too? You could.
Yeah, say peanut. I trust Paige.
We'll go right.
I trust you too, Cassandra.
All right, goes with
Mike,
peanuts.
What are you going to go with?
I'm going to go with pork rind.
Pork rind.
Mike goes with pork rind.
It's a good one.
Everyone was wrong.
Cashews.
Wow. It was an almond, a salted almond.
I should have. Can we just be more general next time and say in the nut family?
Yeah, nope. I should have just said a nut.
No credit. You will get no credit. You could have just said nut, but you yelled peanut, Paige, so you lost.
Go with your gut.
All right, let's do one more quick sample round.
All right, here's another sample. Are you guys ready?
Yep.
That's a Cheeto.
Kasera is going directly with boldly. Cheeto.
Okay.
Wait, can I hear it again or it's gone already?
No, it's not gone. I can do it again.
One more sample.
I gotta swallow first. All right, here we go.
Okay. Paige, do you have any questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Is it a vegetable?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Cucumber.
Okay, you can guess that. We'll tell you. Mike, do you have any questions before you guess?
No, I'm going to guess carrot.
Okay. Sarah, you sticking with your Cheeto?
No, definitely not. Cheetos are not vegetables.
Okay.
To some people, they are.
What is your guess?
Quick recap.
Is it a vegetable?
Yes.
Oh, then I'm going to say carrot.
Baby carrot.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, baby carrot.
The answer, now, are you someone with baby carrot or carrot?
I'm going to say baby carrot.
Because Mike already said carrot, and you'll distinguish yourself, or you'll be tied with Mike.
Baby carrot.
Okay, you're going for the win, and you are incorrect. It's just a regular carrot.
Oh, God.
Mike is the lead.
Regular carrot is that size.
Regular carrot.
It's just, I hit it in my hand.
Oh, wow.
That's why, because you shouldn't be watching, cheater.
All right.
Is this how you won that contest? Did you cheat to get into
it? I'm not even looking at you. I was just saying in general, like, I was just thinking you just pop it in your mouth. So I'm like, what carrot did you find?
I have my ways. It's all hidden in this bag. Okay.
This is amazing. We have tempers flaring right now for this next episode.
This is the most aggressive version of What's Paul Eating we've ever had.
Ever. Let's get some calls in. Call us 312-981-7200. We're giving away two tickets to see Everyone's a Lawyer here in Chicago.
I just got a call. We can give away four tickets. Four tickets. We just doubled the ante. Four tickets.
And we're getting some calls. That's all you need to do, Paul. Four tickets. All right, let's take a quick break here. And everyone, turn up their hearing aids. Turn up your earbuds to 11 for another episode of What's Paul Eating? Right after this. Welcome back to WGN's Nightside with host Mike Heidemann and Paul Farfar.
Michael, we got a text or a call from someone who wants to play, and he says that we've already missed Deke. And you know what we are known for? We're nothing if we're not accurate.
Yes, that's very true.
So what...
thorough vetting.
What's the caller saying? He wants to play as well?
Yes, we got our good friend Patrick who needs to correct something in the
fan
judgment that you made.
Yes, Patrick, what's going on?
Yes, how you doing?
I'm good.
I heard that I used to be in the food industry a long time. The only reason I know this is that there's no such thing as baby carrots. That's just a label put on a package. Those are actually just regular carrots that they put in a machine and they grind them down because they look ugly. So they look better that way and they call them baby carrots.
I understand your argument, but, you know, according to Mariano's, they're baby carrots, so...
All right. Well, Mariano's got to go with that then, huh?
Well, you know what? We're going to give Kasera half a point for baby carrots. Patrick, but you want to play as well, is that correct?
Yes, please.
Okay, have you played the game before, Patrick? Have you won it in the last 3.5 years?
No, I haven't played
okay.
it.
Okay, we will allow it.
All right, so Patrick, just a rundown of what we got going on here. We've got Mike, with 1 point. Kasera with half a point. Paige, you're yet to get on the leaderboard there. And Patrick, you just started. Paige, but before we get into the next round, what do you got coming up here in the next few weeks?
Okay, so tomorrow night I'm on Burnt, which is a new show at Laugh Factory. It's a roast show where two comedians just go after each other, making fun of all their soft spots.
Great.
And who are you roasting?
Allie Drapos.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been writing a lot of fun stuff about her. And then tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, I'm headlining the Chicago Funny Women's Fest.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, 15 minutes. I'll be talking. But I do want to say that when two carrots love each other very much and they get together.
Yeah, what do you call that?
They get married and then they have a baby carrot.
It's fine. She'll be doing jokes like that at the roast tomorrow. All right.
All right. And Mike, what do you have going on in the upcoming weeks? Where can we find you?
Other than an Ariana Grande concert.
Saturday night, I'm at the Vic again with kind of an interesting one. It's called Off the Mound with Ryan Dempster.
Oh, yes.
Wow. And,
one of my favorites.
It's sort of Ryan's... it's like Ryan hosting the Tonight Show. He has a band, he does a monologue, and then he has guests.
And comedian Joe Kilgallen is doing warm-up on that show, too. Good friend of ours.
Oh, great. Yeah. And Anthony Rizzo and Kerry Wood and Ozzie Guillen. And so... That's very different for me.
That's huge,
but it's exciting. Super awesome. So that's
he's
be
really
the
funny too.
Saturday night, he is
Ryan Dempster is the funniest baseball player in the world.
That's like
not, he could have done comedy. I've told him that. He knows.
Yeah, I think
he will Saturday night at the
Vic. Right. Well, I mean, he could also do stand up as a career. This is maybe his mojo.
Well, right on. Before we go into the next round, which everyone is waiting for at the edge of their seat, where can we find you too? What's your Instagram handles? Or if you don't have one, it could be anything.
I don't think Mike.
Email.
I do Gmail. Not have an Instagram.
He's like, what's Instagram?
What about Twitter, Mike? No.
No, I do. I don't even remember
well,
what
website.
It is. I don't tweet. I watch.
Okay.
but I do not tweet.
Well, you can catch the shows at jamusa.com.
Jamusa.com is where you can find out about all the stuff we're doing at Jam.
Yeah. Right on.
Cool.
How about you, Paige?
If you want to find me, you should look at me on Instagram at Paige, P-A-I-G-E underscore blur, B-L-U-R-R, which is just a fun take on my last name.
Okay.
I love it. All right, Patrick, let's bring you in here for the final round of...
Oh, is there final? Because I have two. Because if Patrick, if you win this round, it's going to go into overtime with you and Michael.
Yes, we got 2 minutes.
Okay, so are you ready? Patrick, have you been playing along? You know what's been happening? Obviously.
A little. I tuned in only minutes. I heard the baby carrot thing, and, you know.
I'm furious.
All right. All right, so we're going to this round. This could take it to overtime, or... Mike will win. All right.
Here we go.
Ready?
Yes.
Let's go.
Hit it.
Drum roll.
All right.
I have a question.
Paige has a question.
Is this...
Okay.
Does this happen to be the same thing you ate in the first round?
No. Okay. Patrick, do you have any questions?
You want me to answer yet, or
no? I mean, you can ask a question before you answer, or you can answer if you know what it is.
Okay. Well, I don't want to give it away. Can somebody else guess my same answer if I give an answer?
Go for it, Patrick.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, I don't want that to happen, so I'm not going to ask any questions.
You want to pass, Mike? You got to go next. That makes sense.
You know what? We don't have any time for questions. We got to go straight to the lightning round. What do you think, Mike?
Dorito.
Okay,
Mike says Dorito.
Sarah, what do you say?
A regular Cheeto.
Okay. What do you say, Patrick?
I think potato chip.
Everyone is wrong.
Oh,
wow.
It was celery.
Oh.
It was celery.
What is up with all these healthy snacks?
Well, we still didn't do a few of the other rounds. So, Mike LeMaistre is our winner. Patrick, if you want to stick around, give Kasari information. We'll give you 2 tickets to the Laugh Factory for Sunday's Everyone's a Lawyer as well. Thank you for playing, and thanks for correcting us.
That is so nice. All right, let's close out the show. It's been such a pleasure hanging out with you guys. My name is Michael Heidemann.
Paul Farvar here. That was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
It went by. We didn't get to do a lot of the stuff you and I had planned for hours, days, weeks.
We have a stack of paper here that we didn't even get to. I think we need to do this again sometime.
I hope so. I hope we could. If you liked what you heard, please tell people and check us out on our podcast, Two Guys, One Album.
Yep.
You can find me at paulfcomedy.com or on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter's at Paul Farvar, common spelling.
And you can find me at michaelheidemann.com. Good luck with that spelling. But you can also find me on Instagram. It's under Arthur Fonzarelli. Yes, that's
yes,
like the Fonz.
Common spelling.
And Michael Heidemann is the Twitter name. But other than that, it's been a total pleasure. Thank you to all of our team members. Thank
yes,
you to Sarah. You
thanks,
rule.
Thanks, Sarah. Good luck at
Mike,
that show.
Mike, Paige, fantastic seeing you guys. And Paul, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it was. I guess I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow.